Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm. Save on their lowest price with code word Howie at EdenPure.com.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Fox News right now is live and they're watching new rockets fired at Israel. There's a lot happening on that front. We will keep you guys posted as we get more information. It doesn't look good right now, obviously. There's a lot of turmoil happening. I do want to talk here a little bit. I have this full cut sheet and I have not really dabbled into a lot of these cuts. I was kind of saving it. I was saving the major COVID segment for right now. Now, don't turn off your radios. Promise we're going to make this entertaining, but we do have to go through some of these Weingarten posts, and I'll tell you why. It's kind of amazing that the head of the teachers union would go on Fox News, and the best way I saw someone describing this today is she's officially rubbing our noses in it. And that's the vibe I get from a lot of Democrats. It's not enough that we've all just taken this lying down and we're all sheep. And we're all just lemmings doing whatever they say. But now they're just kind of smirking and laughing at us. And she was on with Martha McCallum, who did a great job. And she wanted to pin all of these issues on everyone but herself or the teachers' unions. And I thought probably the craziest one was when she tried to blame Trump. This is cut 26.
The former president hadn't kept on changing his mind and changing these things, we would have gotten more schools back in session.
Because what you told me was that there wasn't money, that some of these schools had problems like mold. I mean, all these things started getting into the mix that were not part of the equation at all when parents were just wanting to get their kids to go back. So obviously you didn't have the pull with the prior administration. But in this administration, there have been $20 million has gone to Democrats from teachers unions and teachers organizations. So I guess that money seems to be working.
Absolutely. If the CDC is constructing their guidance with the help of the teachers unions, that money was well spent. They got a great ROI on that cash. They're running the show. Joe Biden is beholden to these teachers unions. There's just no doubt about it. And trying to blame this on, what are they calling him now, Jared, the former guy?
Yes, there is the former guy, although late night last night decided that it is now he who shall not be named. So yes.
Who's that, Stephen Colbert?
Yes, that was Colbert.
God, I see those screenshots of the jokes he's making. It's bleak, man. It is bleak. They are so not funny, it hurts. So Randy Weingarten goes on here to then, you know, she tries the Trump thing and that doesn't really pan out. And then she's like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'll blame Fox, because that's the two settings a Democrat has. Blame Trump and then blame Fox News. Cut 23, Jared.
I would hope that Fox would do what everybody else in public health is doing, which is we have to get our kids vaccinated once the vaccination is okay. I would hope Fox says to all these people that don't want the vaccines.
Hold on a second. Fox News, you can like it, you can hate it. It is not their job to get people vaccinated or tell people what to do. For all these people who complain that Fox is some huge echo chamber, that it's propaganda, that it's Trump TV or GOP TV, what do they expect them to do? Not all of us are running cover for the Biden administration. Not all of us want to talk all day long about what you should do or tell people what to do. And that is what is so frustrating with these Democrats, is that this treatment of Republicans like we're all these dum-dums who need to be told exactly what to do. And I'm going to give you a great example. This is a fresh rant. I didn't even plan on this one. I saw this last night and it it just, it's like CNN has, they had a staff meeting, okay, with Jeff Zucker and Dana Bash and Chris Cuomo, you know, the best of the best. And they all sat around and somebody said, listen, guys, the ratings are in and they're horrible. And I do want to go off here just for a second on a sidetrack. You need to know how horrible they are, because the quote I like the best is from Joe Concha. He said, the drop CNN is experiencing is profound. On Friday, not one program broke 900,000 total viewers. Prime averaged less than 800,000 overall. For comparison, the network averaged 2.74 million viewers in January. So we're talking about more than two-thirds of the audience gone. It's profound. I really like that word to describe this. It makes me happy. It makes my heart sing. And it's like someone went in with those numbers and said, guys, we are losing viewers at a colossal speed here. I mean, it is just, we are hemorrhaging viewers. So whatever you're doing, the condescension, the talking down to people, the elitist snobbery, amp it up. We need more. I think if you really hammer home the fact that you hate regular Americans and you think that the biggest problem the average person is suffering right now in this country is white supremacy, I think that's going to help us. And so they all took notes, they all got the talking point, and they said, all right, be more awful. Act more sanctimonious / insufferable. And they went to work. They went to work. Listen to John King from CNN telling people, he's explaining to all of us morons why we should get vaccinated. Cut 6.
Done this in a while. Three people at a table. It's been a while. I'm grateful. And for anybody watching at home, this is why you get a vaccine. You get to see your friends again. It's a good thing.
It's a good thing. Okay? So do what CNN and Dr. Fauci and John King tell you to do. All right? Maybe we'll give you a lollipop. Randy Weingarten's like, Fox News needs to get people vaccinated. How about you get these kids back in school? How about you don't worry about what Fox News is up to? Okay? They're not in charge of the kids going into public schools. That's your job, Randy. God, it's so frustrating. And the way they talk to people, and then they wonder why no one's watching. And then this is, if you were to turn on by accident, obviously, it'd be a complete mistake. No one's turning on CNN on purpose. The numbers, you know, they want us to follow the science. This is the science. The ratings are the science. If you were to turn on CNN, this is what you'd be hearing. Cut 14.
And Dan, also, this makes the case for an independent 1-6 commission, which Cheney talked about in her piece for the Washington Post this week. Having a commission, having a fact-finding expedition helps to keep memories alive.
Can we stop with the 1-6 thing, media? It's not going to happen.
All right, so hold on. I gotta write this down here. So we have gas lines, gas shortages. We have a influx of coronavirus-infected illegal aliens just, you know, running through the border. No issue there. They're just pouring into the country. The stock market today is down. The unemployment numbers are, the jobs report, I should say, was disappointing, to put it mildly. What am I missing here? Oh, yeah, kids are in school. People are depressed. Suicide. People are, you know, there's just a lot of negative stuff. But what Brian Stelter wants
us to
worry about.
Don't forget Israel and Palestine trading rockets.
Sorry, right. No, peace in the Middle East is no more. I'm sorry, guys. I just got to write this all down or else I'll forget. And then what we should be worried about, what CNN is running, is not any of this. No. They have no interest in any of these little bullet points here. They want to keep talking about January 6th, which the further out we get, the lamer this thing looks.
Bashing law enforcement officers' brains in with American flags.
All right, when we get back, first I'm going to take a super beat because my blood pressure is through the roof, predictably. When we get back, though, I will take your calls. I see people are fed up as much as I am. I can't get over this idea that they think people are buying this, that they think that they can keep talking about January 6th and what everyone's going to be waiting in gas lines, miserable. Their kids aren't going to be in school and they're going to go, oh, yeah, that's what's important. He's all the MAGA people who were in charge of the insurrection. I just don't think people are that dumb. I think that's CNN's problem. People aren't as dumb as they need them to be. I'm proud of us, America. I am proud of us. It's true what they say, a perfect smile is change your smile, change your life. I saw the change with Howie and the mailroom manager. Many people walk around not smiling because they aren't happy with their teeth. It really is amazing to watch the testimonial videos at perfectsmiles.com. If you've ever thought about getting your teeth done, do not wait. You should do it right now. You should call Perfect Smiles, check their website out, look at the testimonials. You can see what happens when people change their smiles, because your whole personality changes. You feel more confident. You want to smile more. And if you smile more, I don't know if you know this, Jared, it's been scientifically proven. If you smile more, you just get happier just in general by smiling more. But it's hard to smile if you're not confident in your teeth. So what you want to do is go to Perfect Smiles. Parking is free. The staff is awesome. Dr. Houghton is an artist and he's an incredibly nice guy. If you've been wanting to upgrade your look for years, this is your sign. Don't wait any longer. Go to perfectsmiles.com. That's perfectsmiles.com. Change your smile. Change your life. We will be back with more of your calls. 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. This is The Grace Curley Show. We is heading for bear on I-10, about a mile out of Shaky Town. I says, Pigpen, this here's a rubber duck, and I'm about to put the hammer down.
Cause we got little convoy rocking through the night. Yeah, we got little convoy, ain't she a beautiful sight? Come on and join our convoy, ain't nothing gonna get in our way. We gonna roll this truckin' convoy across the USA.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Yeah, it's been a busy day today with all of this disappointing and unexpected news coming out of the Biden administration. I'll be curious to see what Jen Psaki has to say today. Besides, I'm trying to decide what she's going to call this gas shortage. We know she's not going to call it what it is because, God forbid, she didn't want to call the situation at the border a crisis. And so maybe she'll call this a gas challenge, a fuel funk. I don't know. I'm getting some ideas on Twitter, but I don't know. I just wanted to give you guys...
nominated a woman.
Oh, you didn't? Yeah, maybe that's what she'll say. any word on what we should do about the gas shortage? We actually nominated a woman to take care of that. So I guess your answer, there it is. That's the answer. Speaking of women that they've hired, this woman, Susan Hennessy, who just got put on, I think it's somewhere in the DOJ. She just got a new high-ranking job. And people are putting up flashbacks. I didn't really know much about her. I guess she's a huge, she really bought into the Russia hoax, which right there, that you know what I think. I think I want that person in charge of national security. I want that person looking out for me. And so I was going through some of these flashbacks, and I think they're worth playing. Let's first play... This is how much this woman, Susan Hennessy, bought in to the Russia hoax. When I listened to this cut the first time, I thought, I bet she had a Mueller photo in her house, like Joe and Mika. Or at least like a Mueller handbag or a Mueller puppet.
Maybe a pillow, like how Gretchen Whitmer has the pillow of Dr. Fauci.
She had some sort of Mueller swag. Cut three.
You know, at the end of the day, I do think one of the most significant things is that SDNY filing in which federal prosecutors asserted in their own voice that the president had directed the commission of multiple federal crimes. They would not have been allowed to include that in a filing unless they believed it was true. And I do think that we can say without exaggeration that if Donald Trump was not currently president of the United States, he would be under indictment or he would be imminently under indictment. I mean, that it is that level of sort of severity and seriousness. And look, you know, these aren't small technical violations. You know, these are violations that go to the core of the reason why we have campaign finance laws. This is hiding information from the American people and defrauding them, you know, before they make their ultimate Democratic choice. And I do think ultimately the question here is, if this is what prosecutors are saying in these very restrained technical court filings, what is going to be in the Mueller report? And I think we're starting to get a little taste of why the president is so terrified.
Yeah. Now she's part of the DOJ. Doesn't that make you feel good? She said, I'm very honored to be joining the extraordinary team. Well, I should, let me run this through the proper timeline. First, she deleted 39,000 tweets.
As you do.
39,000 tweets. And then she said, I'm very honored to be joining the extraordinary team at the Department of Justice and the National Security Division. Thank you for all the kind words. And a huge thanks. But that's not the only thing. It wasn't that she really worshipped at the altar of Bob Mueller, which does tell you a lot. But I particularly liked her take. She's going to be a huge part of national security. And when I think national security, I think climate change cut four.
For all of the Trump administration sort of focus on refugees, the single biggest national security threat is climate change. We've seen that the ways in which climate change has either sparked conflicts or has made existing conflicts worse again and again. This has been a major DOD
priority. What do you think of the weather 2 weeks ago?
So we've seen this.
What do you mean? Do you think it has anything to do with the weather we've been having?
I don't think that necessarily has sparked conflict.
Well, how about the hottest years in record?
Right. So again and again, we're seeing a more intense sort of conflict for resources. We're seeing more and more displaced people. That has spillover effects with really dramatic security
conflict. Yeah, I think you're right.
We're in good hands. Between that and the girl who doesn't want you to go out tanning, who can stop us? And between, you know, and just keep in mind, this, she's not working for any president. She's working for Joey Baby. So between Joe Biden on the Amtrak, this girl in national security, this woman in national security, and and Randy Weingarten, what do we have to be afraid of? We have nothing to fear but fear itself.
She sounds like Jen Psaki on speed and Mountain Dew.
She's going fast. She's going fast. I also wanted to read you guys this headline. I saw this yesterday, and I thought, what a stupid, stupid headline. The Guardian tweeted out, Gwyneth Paltrow broke down and ate bread during quarantine. What was your lowest point? I'm going to say that one more time. Gwyneth Paltrow broke down and ate bread during quarantine. What was your lowest point? They thought it was like cutesy, you know what I mean? Even Gwyneth had to binge on some bread. And I saw this response by Christine Roussel, and she wrote, this is her lowest point, okay? When my dad died and I spent his entire burial service wondering if I was going to get arrested and I couldn't invite my best friend due to gathering policies that were proven to be BS 10 days later when nobody cared about hundreds of people gathering together outside.
But what did she eat?
But did you break down and have bread? It's just a really the that's one silver lining of this lockdown is that it's really exposed how out of touch celebrities are and how much people do not care. I mean, like this shutdown has made people despise the Hollywood elite. That's why the Golden Globes. That's why NBC's not going to air the Golden Globes. They say it's because of a diversity problem. The problem is no one's watching. That's the issue here. And I think that woman, Christine Roussel, really just highlighted exactly why these people are so out of touch, because their worst, lowest moment of their worst year was breaking their diet. And for the rest of America, it was a lot worse than that. People dealt with real pain and things that are going to take them a long time, if ever, to heal from. Nobody cares about what Gwyneth Paltrow is eating.
I had to drink a 2002 Chianti instead of a 1994 Chianti.
It's really, they make out of touch seem like it's not the appropriate word in this situation because they are so on a different planet. When we get back, we have producer's picks. So do not go anywhere because Jared has some awesome stories for you. We'll be right back. It's the Grace Curley Show.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Some of the people online here have been in other lines and still don't have a tank of gas.
This is the second gas line this morning.
What happened at the first?
They ran out.
I've been in two gas lines already.
This morning?
This morning.
How long did you wait for the first
one? I've been in both lines over an hour, and I'm out of gas. Dead out.
I called Dr. Fauci today, and I said, if I get in a gas line, how long is it going to take before I can fill up my tank? And he said, perhaps, conceivably, we can start pondering, potentially, maybe, possibly, filling up our tanks in 5 or 10 years, not in the near future. All right, without further ado, it is time for your favorite segment of the show. This is where my producer, Jerry Diglio, gets to tell us what's on his mind and what's going on the webosphere. It is time for Producer's Picks.
And now, the feature so many of our listeners wait for each day, Producer's Picks.
All righty, Jared, what do you got for us today on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon?
Well, Grace, ask and ye shall receive. We were wondering what euphemism the Biden administration would come up with for the gasoline shortage.
No.
It's not a gasoline shortage. Here's Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm.
And so those are the areas that we have the greatest concerns with, and because of the fact that there's not a whole lot of other supply. Now, this particular pipeline also supplies other states, but there are other pipelines that supply other states as well, so there's more diversity. In this particular region, that's where we're going to see the crunch, and this is why we know that we have gasoline. We just have to get it to the right places.
Ain't that always the issue, though?
It's a crunch. It's a supply crunch.
I was kind of hoping I'd be wrong and they would just call it a gas shortage. But
there's no shortage. All these states have gas. And we just, you know, pipe it from somewhere to somewhere else.
We're just doing the crunch, y'all. It's crunch.
These people. All right. So if you're not paying attention, what is going on in Israel right now is absolutely insane. Hamas and Palestine, and they are just firing rockets back and forth. There's tons of video coming out now of full-on rocket assaults on Israel. And our president is AWOL when it comes to our best ally in the Middle East. And that is despicable. I don't want to get editorial. This is Producer's Picks. It's a fun segment. It's a light segment. But Joe Biden is AWOL on this issue of our best ally in the Middle East getting absolutely bombarded. And he is not coming to their defense. He's not saying anything. He's not doing anything.
Yeah, and I think that the media right now, as well as you know, the liberal elites, they're really doing a disservice to people by not telling you what's actually happening. The way they are framing this is pretty despicable, and they're not actually telling you that Israel is, as far as what I can see, Jared, they're on the defense. They are being attacked.
Yes, and they have launched counterstrikes. Israel has to defend themselves, including reports that they did hit the top floor of an apartment building and take out a Hamas leader, which injured 26 people, but that was a precision strike as opposed to the carpet missiles that are being sent their way. And again, I'm trying to keep things light here, but what's going on is nuts, and the president needs to do something about it. He needs to at least make a statement.
Yeah, no,
on what's happening.
Don't worry about keeping things light. I mean, it's news. It's big news, and we should talk about it. Ryan Saavedra tweeted, "Notice how the media intentionally refuses to state the order of events of causation. Palestinian terrorists first fired hundreds of rockets at Israeli citizens, and then Israel's military responded by targeting the terrorists who fired the rockets." But again, you're not going to get that. There's a real hesitancy on the part of the media and even like a lot of celebrities and stuff to ever defend Israel. And that was one of Trump's, he had a ton of strong points, but that was one thing that he was great at, which he never hesitated to stand up for our ally. And it's sad that we don't have that right now.
Yeah, so that's, all right, now that I get that off my chest. Rand Paul and Dr. Fauci have a contentious history, shall we say. And today, Rand Paul was talking at this hearing to Dr. Fauci, and it answered, and he asked the question that has been going around the internet, but there was a lot of interest in this question, which essentially is, all right, what did Dr. Fauci know about the NIH funding the Wuhan lab, and what did he know about the gain of function that was going on with the SARS virus? And for those who don't know what gain of function is, like myself until this morning, gain of function essentially means what they are doing in this lab is they are taking a virus, in this case SARS-1, and they are trying to merge it with another virus to see what effects can happen, if it's possible, how it would attack, how it would infiltrate, things like that. So this is gain of function is something you're going to hear a lot for the next couple of weeks. And Rand Paul asked the question to Dr. Fauci.
I fully agree that you should investigate where the virus came from. But again, we have not funded gain of function research on this virus in the Wuhan Institute of Virology, no matter how many times
you say it, there was research. There was research done with Dr. Shi and Dr. Barrick. They have collaborated on gain-of-function research where they enhanced the SARS virus to infect human airway cells, and they did it by merging a new spike protein on it. That is gain-of-function. That was joint research between the Wuhan Institute and Dr. Barrick. You can't deny it.
Senator Paul, your time has expired. Dr. Fauci, I will let you respond to that. We need to move on.
Excuse me?
I will allow you to respond to that, and then we'll move on.
I just wanted to say, I don't know how many times I can say it, Madam Chair, we did not fund gain-of-function research to be conducted in the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
Now, he is just, you know, using, and I say this all the time, the liberals are the party of linguistics. He's just using language to try to muddy up what the actual point is. Obviously, whatever we funded at the Wuhan lab, we didn't say to them, you should, and I'm going to, like you, Jared, I'm just learning what this means, gain of function. But if gain of function is the bad thing here, okay, we did not say to them, here's this money to fund gain of function. But we did fund them, and they chose to use it for this. Am I getting this correct?
Yes, that is essentially what it is. And why that's important is because Dr. Fauci, you heard him explicitly say, we did not fund gain of function at the Wuhan Lab of Virology. So if they do some investigating and they find out that it was going on and that the NIH did fund it, that's a problem. That's a problem for Fauci, and it's a problem for a lot of people.
But I think what he's saying is that, and I agree with you, if they get proof that that's what they were funding, but the real point, I think, is that it doesn't matter if they specifically said you can use the money for this. If the lab chose to use it for that, I'm getting the sense that the Wuhan lab wasn't waiting on written permission to use the money in certain ways. They probably were doing whatever they wanted.
Yes, that's like giving money to Iran so they don't, or giving them nuclear materials, but don't develop a bomb with it.
Exactly.
But you can just, you know, I don't know, make a sandcastle with it or something.
No, that's my exact point. If you give like $1 billion, let's say, to Iran, and then you say, but you can only use it for X, Y, and Z, and then they use it for something else, and you go, well, we only told them to use it for X, Y, and Z. It doesn't really matter. It really, you know, that's not what we're saying. Dr. Fauci's good, though. He's sneaky.
Yes, I will leave it at that.
Are you trying to make a short joke again?
No, I'm done with the short jokes. He's a small man in many ways.
Yeah, he's good at he's good at getting out of these situations, though. As good as Rand Paul is at arguing with him, Dr. Fauci knows how to kind of wiggle his way out of these situations.
Like a worm on a hook. So I know we talked a lot about the supply crunch for the gas. It's not a gasoline shortage that's going on, but good news, because if you were worried about gas, you don't have to be. Wind turbines, wind is the future. The Biden administration has given final approval, or will give final approval, for the nation's first major offshore wind farm, the Vineyard Wind Project off the coast of Massachusetts, would generate electricity to power 400,000 homes. So off the vineyard, the beautiful bay. It's going to be all windmills, and it's going to be glory and unicorns. And
I don't know how the is this. So where is this exactly? I'm sorry, Jared. This is Martha's Vineyard.
It's off the coast of Martha's Vineyard.
I don't know if the beautiful people are going to like that.
Oh, I'm sure they will from their high rise at the Obama's house that they bought. Now
I don't think so.
This is all great, but in like 3 years or whatever, when the sea levels rise, can the wind turbines go underwater? I mean, that's my concern.
See. It's funny you should ask that, because I actually called up Greta last night, and it turns out it's 6 years now.
How dare you?
They got a little bit longer to wait on that.
Oh, beautiful people, you shall enjoy it. All right, into a little more lighthearted news. Today is actually the first home game for the Worcester Red Sox, the Woo Sox, at Polar Park. The first pitch is about 20 minutes or so away from now, and they're hosting the Syracuse Mets, so the former Pawtucket Red Sox have their home opener today in Worcester, the Woo Sox. Governor Baker is there. 617 texted in. They said they also saw Mike Barnicle and Joe Torre there. So it's a virtual who's who of who you don't want to be around.
Seriously, I was like, ugh.
But
you're not making a really good case for it. Mike Barnicle's there, and so is Charlie Baker.
But
no, pals.
Charlie Baker did do a Zoom or a teleconference call. Might have been the governor's call with President Biden from Polar Park, and there's some funny audio that Howie's going to play coming up in his show that they're grabbing now.
Oh, so good. Awesome.
On this day in 1981, Bob Marley died.
Oh, sad.
And on this day in 1933, Louis Farrakhan was born.
Wow, you are really bringing the depressingness today.
Right? Happy birthday to the great minister, Louis Farrakhan. He's loving what's going on in the Middle East right now.
I'm sure he is. Jared, anything else?
Nah, I'm done. That was terrible. I'm done.
All righty. Now we have Howie Carr coming up next, so do not go anywhere. I see Majorca is speaking now, the DHS secretary. I'm sure there'll be sound from that. Maybe he's talking about all the loving parents who are sending their 9-year-olds across the border alone. We will keep you posted on that. We will be right back, so don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing and like it.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back. This show today has felt like we're in a time machine, and we've transported you back to the 1970s. I wasn't around in the 1970s, but my guest at the desk right now was very much around. It was pre his blonde days, I'm guessing.
It was.
And tell us a little bit about it, Howie. What do we have to look forward to in this new world we're about to emerge into?
I've been thinking all day about a guy named Glenn Heller. He owned a place called Beacon Hill Golf. And he decided that, you know, he wasn't going to have any gas lines. So if like the price was like $3 a gallon, he just made it $6 a gallon. And so you could get as much gas as you wanted at Beacon Hill Golf. And but the thing was that people would go by and they would get so mad at him. They would just like honk their horn and give him the finger and, do everything but come out and get in beefs with him. So occasionally I used to go down there during the height of the gas wars. I'd just go down and I'd spend 3 or 4 hours with him just as people screamed and yelled at him and just go back and write a column about it after for the Boston Herald.
And you would think to yourself, I had such a fun day today.
It was easy work, you know. I mean, if you go, you know, once you developed, a thick skin, because you were blamed too if you were just standing there with him.
Yeah, and there's another thing that's happening right now. Obviously, there's going to be gas shortages and gas lines, but that's not the only problem for a lot of the mainstream media, because they don't want to cover any of these real issues. They just want to cover, you know, January 6th for the 15th time. And what's interesting is CNN's ratings are plummeting, Howie. You've seen them. Joe Concha described it as really profound, how they've lost about 2/3 of their viewers since January. And it would seem that some of them are trying to maybe, I don't know, come back to reality? Listen to this cut from Don Lemon, cut 8.
But she is fully vaccinated, Chris.
I know.
And if you are going to say, during the entire pandemic, and I'm talking to you, Mom, and I'm talking to you, my other friend, I won't say her name because she'll get mad at me. If you're going to say, I believe in the science and the scientists, then now on this side of the pandemic, then you must believe in the science and scientists as well.
I agree.
We're saying to you, if you're fully vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask outside. If you want to travel, you can wear a mask, follow the protocols. But it is 99.99 or whatever percent chances that you won't get the COVID. You won't get COVID.
So what does it say?
Obviously, he read the New York Times story about that, which, you know, they said that there was a 10% chance you would get the COVID if you were outside without a mask. Now it turns out it's, according to Rochelle Walensky, she was talking to, I guess, Susan Collins today, the senator from Maine. And she said, well, you know, it's the New York Times story is right. It's maybe 0.1% to 1%. And so, you know, the Red Sox game, I think tonight, they're gonna have 9,000 people at Fenway Park. I don't know if they could fill the park anyway, even though they're playing okay now. I don't think people give a bleep about baseball anymore. But, I mean, why do they have a 9,000-seat limit, fan limit at Fenway Park when there's a 0.1% chance you're going to get the COVID?
Well, first of all, I 1,000% agree with you that it's not the limit that is keeping the numbers down. I was watching a baseball game this weekend. I wasn't actually watching it, but it was on. And I said to my dad, I wonder if there's so few people because of the COVID or because no one wants to go see it. And he said, I almost think it's people have, because COVID has made you prioritize things you actually want to spend your time
right.
doing. And I don't think anyone wants to spend 4 or 5 hours at a baseball game. Now, the other thing I'll say, Howie, is it's interesting because the Bruins and other hockey teams, depending on where they're located, Las Vegas has filled their hockey rink. So there it's, I think it's 100% capacity. So it really does give certain teams an advantage.
Well, the NHL is less woke than like, the NBA
they're getting
or,
there, the, though.
Or MLB.
But don't you think it's funny that like certain teams will have this advantage of having, it is a huge advantage to have a full packed house cheering you on versus fake noise coming out of the bleachers.
And, you know, not only is it an advantage, you know, for the players, you know, to get the support, but it also makes a more entertaining product on TV.
Exactly. I totally agree. I don't know what is happening, but I think when Don Lemon on CNN is making more sense than the rest of the anchors.
We got to get cord cutting though, because they, as long as they have people getting as long as they're getting the money from the cable companies, you know, no matter what their ratings are, they can still survive and make money. You know, everybody has to cut the cord to the cable companies. That's the way
that,
we got to go.
I did that a long, long time ago. All right, guys, Howie Carr has a jam-packed show planned, so do not go anywhere. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow with more 1970s fun on The Grace Curley Show.